Richard Mead is an economist, and he heads Cognitas, offering specialist independent expertise in the economics of regulation and competition, governance, environmental policy and treaty settlements. So, you know, the government has boosted funding for Te Matatini by more than 34 mil for the next couple of years, making it one of the highest funded arts service providers, taking it just above the symphony orchestra, the ballet, etc., and addressing an historic discrepancy that's long drawn criticism from our people. Richard Mead, economist, was part of a report released last year called The Value of Kapahaka, which highlighted the value of Māori performing arts. And Richard's kindly with us this morning. Richard, tēnā koe.
Rena.
Kia ora, Richard. It's an interesting kaupapa for you, I'm assuming. I'm picking that you've done heaps of sort of reports into economic value of different sectors, but how intrigued were you by a request to highlight the economic value of kapahaka, for instance, Richard? Had you done something like it before, and what did you enjoy about that maki?
Very good question, Dale. So basically, this is the first time I've done some cultural valuation explicitly, and this is something that some economists do around the world as a specialisation. I use some techniques that overlap with the techniques that they use, and so I thought when I was asked to look at the question of what is the economic value of kapahaka, I could apply some of these techniques to that. But I'd stress that the kind of techniques that I'm talking about are not the standard ones, which are used commonly for any sort of event evaluation. For example, often people will look at what the sort of regional GDP impact is of holding a festival, that sort of thing. What I'm looking at is the extra sorts of values that you can attach to something over and above that sort of thing. And so this is where looking at cultural value, just the basic sort of enjoyment that people get out of going to a thing, rather than the extra number of hotel beds sold or restaurant meals sold.
It creates a useful toolkit, because so often in Te Māori, Richard, we're looking to evaluate the growth in pride or a sense of self-esteem, which is often not a requirement of baseline economic evaluation. So the toolkit that you've got now as a result of this study, do you anticipate it could be useful going forward in other similar mahi?
Oh, absolutely. And it's what I did for this particular exercise. I was just one of very many researchers, obviously, and there are very many useful contributions from a whole different range of angles, and I was just coming at it from one particular angle. And I had to develop a new part of the toolbox to try and evaluate the value of attending Te Matatini festivals, because it's a slightly different sort of choice situation to what the techniques usually apply to. But I'm very happy as a researcher and somebody who works in this sort of area more generally to think about how we keep applying these tools to these sorts of questions, because you're absolutely right. In many instances, culture and Māori culture in particular end up being kind of second fiddle, because effectively there are lots of things that can be valued much more easily, and if you can't fight fire with fire, if you like, by coming up with some sort of solid quantification of the full range of benefits that you're offering, then you're kind of losing arguments when it comes to budget allocations, for example.
Which obviously, you know, your work and the tūnō from others, and I guess the ratings, the quality of performance from this year's Te Matatini, which I think everyone agrees was exceptional, we were seeing the best of the best, it added some weight to the tunnel to get more recognition. And it's a significant recognition too, as mentioned, with 17 mil each year. It'll be rapidly utilised, I've got no doubt of that, Richard, but it's really interesting you know, to evaluate it in the way that you have. So there's the baseline economic benefits, there's the television ratings, its implications for potential tourism, etc. The latter that we just touched on, though, the growth in pride of a people who have been much maligned across generations, how were you able to evaluate that and present it in a palatable way to those who ultimately have the funding decision-making responsibilities?
Dale, here I'd have to confess, I'd love to have done that work, but it hasn't been done yet, by me at least. And so I think you're actually right, you're onto something. We're talking about effectively cultural restoration, you know, from decades where Māori culture wasn't celebrated. It was kept in the back room, as it were, where the language wasn't celebrated. It was encouraged not to speak it, etc. And I think, importantly, what we're talking about with Te Matatini is one of the many pieces of the jigsaw about restoring Te Reo Māori, restoring Māori culture more widely to where you'd think it should be kind of celebrated in our sort of country and in our communities. So there's a lot more work to be done to try and figure out what those wider values are. And for example, the extra funding, it is for 2 years, so I'd be interested to know what happens beyond 2 years. But assuming it carries on, it's going to be making an extra contribution towards revitalisation of Te Reo. So in a sense, it's kind of complementary to education policy that's also trying to revitalise Te Reo, but it's also revitalising Māori culture more broadly, Mātauranga, et cetera, et cetera. So it's got a whole range of co-benefits effectively, and we've only really started to scratch the surface of how you might measure those ranges of values.
Tēnā koe. It's a really interesting area to speak of and for you to work in. A lot of unpaid performers, a lot of effort people have put in, a lot of financial sacrifice from a lot of kapaka performers who can ill afford it. But we have received some funding here. Ultimately, and briefly if you will, what did the report, when you compiled it, say about its impact? I know we're not going to be able to go into all the cultural benefits as we've sort of touched on, Richard, but ultimately it's a financial figure that usually is one of those that will sway decision makers. What's an overview of the findings that you had about the usefulness, the success of Te Matatini and Kapahaka?
I should stress that, of course, my work was just one corner of that very big research project, and so there are a great many findings. Even if they weren't trying to put dollar values on things per se, they were pointing to very valuable things. In my work, I would actually describe as exploratory anyway. I was only focusing on a very narrow corner of the value of Kapahaka, and this is just the attendance at Te Matatini festivals. So I don't even look at all the regional competitions, and you pointed to the fact that a great many people spend a great deal of their own time and money, as it happens, to participate and train for the regional festivals, let alone for the nationals. And my analysis doesn't even scratch the surface on that. I've only just started, if you like, shedding light on a corner of the what you could call the total value of Kapahaka. And effectively, I was coming up with some fairly modest figures per visitor group, but I was treating all visitor groups as being spectators, if you like, rather than performers, because the data didn't allow me to do anything more deeper than that. But what I'm kind of hoping over time is that we get better data, we can develop better methodologies, we can start to shed more light on different corners of the overall value of Kapahaka, and try to start quantifying those in monetary terms. As you say, not because we're trying to reduce everything to something that's traded in markets, it's not that at all. It's rather just to try and fight fire with fire by saying, okay, if we can quantify what the cultural value of Kapahaka is, for example, in monetary terms, then when you come to have budget debates at the cabinet table, for example, you're able to fight fire with fire when you're competing with road funding or health funding and all those sorts of other types of funding.
How did you feel? It sort of caught some people by surprise when Grant Robertson said there's a boost for funding for Te Matatini, as someone who's delved into it, and even as you've admitted there, it was sort of scratching the surface a little. Was it satisfying for you to see this this boost in opportunity resourcing for the sector?
I'm naturally delighted for Te Matatini, because for a long time I've been saying quite vocally that they feel like they're not getting equitable funding compared to other sorts of arts in New Zealand. And it's a very material funding boost. As I say, it is only 2 years, so I guess it will make a real difference just because it is such a big boost in funding. But in terms of what sort of long-term programs you might be able to sustain will come down to whether or not the funding itself is sustained. But the question I have is, as much as it's been a material increase in the funding, is it still not reflecting what the true cultural value of Kapahaka is? Because I'm pointing to the things like how it's important for helping with revitalisation of Te Reo, that all the other researchers on the project that I was part of, they're pointing to things like improved education achievement, better school participation rates, better health outcomes for participants, et cetera, et cetera. There's a great many different co-benefits of Kapahaka that are worthy of deeper analysis and quantification. And that begs the question whether this funding increase, as large as it is really even getting close to reflecting what these extra benefits are of improving resourcing for Kapahaka and Te Matatini.
It's been nice talking with you. It's an interesting kaupapa and one that we'll delve into, no doubt, going forward. But I appreciate your observations thus far. That's Dr. Richard Mead, economist. Thank you, Richard. It's been nice meeting you, too.
Likewise, John.
Tēnā koe. AOS 603.